Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Hey, happy new year to everyone out there right now. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk with host Barry Bonds on the Best of News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your proud host, Barry Bonds, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And you guys can always reach out to me at any one of my social handles on Twitter, Locker_Report. Facebook, LockReport.com, Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps, or you can simply shoot me an email via BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. I hope everyone is enjoying their new year. This is a new year for fresh starts. Hopefully everyone had a strong 2019 where it was loaded with ups and downs. However, as we move forward to 2020, I hope that everyone under the sound of my voice will have a much better, much prosperous year now that we're in right now currently. That if you guys are sticking to your New Year's resolutions, hopefully you guys can at least hold it for at least a month. I know I'm definitely going to try to on my end, but hey, it always sounds good to try to start off with your resolutions. The only thing is we hope to always keep and abide by it. But if not, if you fall short, do not be hard on yourself, still push forward because, hey, we have still 12 months of our lives ahead of us for this year. And I just hope that everyone, that what you plan for will come to pass or you're building towards it. You know, I know that I am personally for myself, as business-wise, my family. You know, we had things that we want to make sure that we ensure for this year. And so I just want to encourage you guys that no matter what may happen, or what may seem as though it may fall apart, just keep on pushing, keep on fighting. And I just hope that everything you guys have marked down or put into your heart for 2020 will definitely come to pass. Now, with that being said, so much stuff to get to today in regards of the NFL. Whole lot of things that I'm about to be involved with, working with football, NFL football operations as they preparing to get things set for the NFL Regional Combine Invitational, which will be even in February or March. I know the details will come out soon. I'll definitely keep you guys abreast of what's going on with that. Definitely will have more interviews on this show. Pretty much kicked off with some good, solid interviews with a couple of NFL players, both who are on the New York Jets, linebackers B.J. Bellow, and then Vincent Smith, wide receiver for the Jets, came onto the show. Great reviews, great responses for those shows. And we're going to keep this train rolling. We're going to have more NFL guys come on Lock and Talk, you know, exclusively, especially for this network with Bass and News Radio Network. We're going to have some agents to come on this show, putting things together as far as preparing for those who are NFL hopefuls that look at Lock Report as a guidance towards getting to the NFL or one of the guidance to get towards the NFL. I know there's a lot of things that go on between that from a player who is from an unknown, from a small school, got overlooked, but feels though in their heart that they can be NFL players. And I know that it has a lot to do with their play on the field, who they associate with themselves, with their certified agents, with their family support, when they get in front of the scouts. But I know and actually do not take it lightly as being a part of that process for each one of those young men that's trying to get to the next level. That's something that I definitely take a lot of pride in. You know, this is why Locker Talk is so special and why it's important, because it's not just a news cycle for NFL news. I like to say the NFL within the NFL, but it's really to genuinely help young men get to their next level or get to their dream of playing in the NFL. So to be a part of that journey for each one of those young men is definitely an honor, definitely appreciative, and something I do not take lightly, and something that I definitely want to get better at to improve and help those who are looking to get to their destiny. All right, here we go. Talk about some football this weekend, wild card weekend. And you listen to Locker Talk on the Bassett News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. This weekend, four games, 12 teams, and before this weekend is out, we're going to be down to four. So my fault, let me take that back. Not 12 teams, it's going to be 8 teams. And then after this week, it's going to be four. And then we get ready for the divisional round, where we have another 8 teams that will trickle down to four, which will be championship weekend. And then with the last two, going to Miami for Super Bowl 54. But in regards to the platform, the RC, the NFL Regional Combine, we have some players that are out there that will play this weekend and will have that opportunity to help their team get to the next round, or the divisional round. Week 17 was a solid week for the NFL. And then when you talk about the players for the regional combine, they had some solid performance as well. Some of them played the spoiler role, especially with the Miami Dolphins when they journeyed to Foxborough. And in that game, Nick Needham, rookie cornerback for the Miami Dolphins, played an excellent game. And that game with the Miami Dolphins had pretty much changed the entire face of the AFC pitcher. Going into that game, myself and pretty much everyone else who watched the game outside of Miami felt as though the Pacers definitely going to win that game. I did not go into the game thinking it was going to be an easy one, considering you have a good, solid coaching staff with Flores coming from the New England Patriots. And plus, the Miami Dolphins has played hard all season long, pretty much right after week three. That's when these guys really got into a groove of things, especially when Fitzpatrick came. Ron Fitzpatrick has stepped in as a four-time starter. That's when you saw the team fed off of him, and these guys went at it every game. And then with Nick Needham coming in, the time he did, he pretty much started this season on the practice squad. But when it got around to week five, that's when he was promoted to the active roster and pretty much was inserted into the starting role. Now, with this year group of players that came to the regional combine, we had normal guys that was going to start off strong and play well. Then you have every year guys that don't necessarily start off strong or not active on the active roster. And the reason why I say active on the active roster, because you have some players that are active and are promoted, but really don't get too much playing time until the mid and late part of the season when they really show their worth. And Needham was no different from that. But with him being able to play close to 40 tackles this year, going to Foxborough, the confidence was there. He already had two interceptions in the season. You know, he felt as though that, hey, I can bump with some of the best wide receivers in this league. You know, he had his ups and downs. He had some battles he won, some battles that he lost. And going up against Tom Brady, what those guys have up there in the wide receivers, really didn't have to battle as much because their wide receivers really can't get that much separation. However, Nick still had a solid game. He finished with 5 tackles in that game and helped to not just defeat the New England Patriots, but change the whole landscape of the AFC conference playoffs, the AFC playoffs. So now instead of the Patriots getting that bye week, which would give them just only 2 games to get to the Super Bowl, which was definitely realistic despite of the struggles they're having now with this team having to play on wild card weekend, 3 games, knowing that in the deficiencies they have on this team, it's going to be a little harder for these guys to get back to that third Super Bowl and for Tom Brady to walk away with a 7th ring. So the Miami Dolphins played spoiler. Nick Needham played a great role in that. Even Trevor Davis, wide receiver and special teams, had a couple of returns in that game. But those guys was able, collectively, with the Miami Dolphins, to help change the scope of the AFC playoff picture. Then, now, another player who definitely had started off active, but not active, but finally got his chance towards the last 2 weeks of the season, and that's linebacker for the Houston Texans, Terrell Adams. Now, Terrell Adams came through the NFL Reserve Combine platform in 2015, and yeah, he bounced around the league, but like I said a couple shows ago, bouncing around the league is just as great as just being with one team because you're still in the NFL and you still manage to find employment as one of the best athletes in the world. And he was able to do that. Bounced around Colts, Chiefs, landed with the Texans on that practice squad, came into the season, got promoted to the active roster early in the season, played a lot of special teams, just waited. Then week 15, he had week 16, he had an opportunity of a lifetime. He was actually inserted in the starting lineup, and during the playoff push for the Houston Texans, he was able to go out there and call plays and did a fantastic job in calling the plays against the Bucs. He finished with 5 tackles in week 16, and he followed up week 17, although that game did not change anything for the Texans. They pretty much already had the division locked down. But against the Tennessee Titans, he was able to wrap up 8 tackles in that game. We're going to talk about Adams a little later on the show as the playoffs for the wild card weekend commence Saturday, round 4:25, when the Texans play and face, when the Buffalo Bills come to their territory. Also, another player that started slow but finished strong, which was actually a surprise, Keelan Cole, wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did not expect him to start this season with one catch within the first 4 games. He had his first reception in week 4, then had another, did not catch a pass again until week 7. Now, it was always strange this season recognizing that he really was not on the field offensively. And I know the Jacksonville Jaguars was trying to find their way for a quarterback with rookie Gardner Minshew the second. I understand that. However, a wide receiver in his 3rd year, somewhat proven as a Jaguar that he can be a reliable target to go to, all of a sudden was not targeted at all. And so he definitely had a slow start to the season. But around week 8, week 9, we start to see more of Cole's stepping into the role that he's familiar with. When his rookie year, 2017, he was targeted 83 times. Last season, he was targeted 70 times, which is average, was okay. But to be able to only be targeted for 35 times this year, that was kind of tough. Something that I wasn't expecting and close, and seriously, I know that he didn't expect it. However, he did make do with the opportunities that he had on the field. And he managed to catch another touchdown last week to cap his 2018 season. So that was good that he was able to finish strong, kept his head down, kept team focused first, and did not allow what his personal trials and his personal questions in regards of his place with the Jaguars interfere with his performance for his team. So I definitely commend him for that. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today with your host, Barry Barnes. Now, going forward, we're going to take a quick pause. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Wild Card Weekend and how the NFL Regional Combine players is going to play a role in helping the teams advance.
Hey, this is L.A. Bachelor reminding you, if you're looking for real discussion on sports, politics, religion, and other topics, you need to join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern at WCOMFM.org, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/LA-Bachelor, and on Thursdays at the same web address. Follow us on Facebook at Pad Nation, on Twitter, Pad Nation, the number 2, at Twitter, LinkedIn, and you can email us with your requests, your comments, your concerns, anything you want at our email address at labachelor with a T, BATCHELR 40 at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Pat Nation, Instagram. And of course, if you miss any part of our broadcast, make sure you go to thebachelorpadnetwork.com. And listen and enjoy The Bachelor Pad.
All right, you heard from the big man himself, the L.A. Bachelor, you know, that run this whole great, you know, network with the Bachelor News Radio Network. Thanks a lot for tuning in to listen to Locker Talk with host Barry Barnes on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today, and also on the network covering everything in news, whether it's politics, whether it's entertainment, social matters, of course, sports. Anything you want to check out as far as news-wise, get away from the national big boys you hear every day, but to really get into some serious content with conversation, make sure you tune in to Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear the Donaldson Files, my folks Tom Donaldson and Coco Koshney. You hear these guys every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The Dr. Larry Show with Dr. Larry Fadot every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And Sandy Secrets with host Sandy Esten. Make sure that you tune in to these networks, these shows. Check out what we're always talking about. We have everything covered. You will not be disappointed. You definitely will be informed and also challenged mentally, especially with this show. Well, you're not going to get challenged this much in this show because it's just sports compared to the stuff they really talk about. They really get into some serious life matters. I just talk about what happened on the turf and grass. I get into some serious stuff, but not as much as these guys. Make sure you tune in to the Best of News Radio Network. Now, back to Locker Talk, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow. Now, this weekend, wild card weekend. I would say when it comes down to the playing season, this is the part where I start to feel really miserable because I only have a month of playing football to actually watch. The regular seasons go way too fast for me. At the same time, while I was playing, it kind of felt like it was going slow. However, it's just how much I love the game. And when the postseason comes, although it's exciting and as intense as it is, and how everything from the off-season, sacrificing family time, sacrificing your body, sacrificing social, kept working, staying in shape. Here we come to mini camp. You guys get acclimated with the offense, welcome new teammates, hook up with your old teammates, do a little break, a little travel, and then next thing you know, here comes training camp roll around, these guys working hard in the hot sun, looking forward to getting to the regular season come, next thing you know, you got to deal with the ups and downs of the whole season, sometimes you lose, then you win, you deal with injuries, deal with coach, then deal with changes, all kinds of stuff, and then bam, playoffs come. So all that build up for this part of the year, It's the thing that makes the playoffs so special because they know that this is the end of the line. Everything they fought for, everything that these guys sacrificed for lives up to this. And for each team, they recognize that only in a couple of weeks, they will have an opportunity to play in the game they had always dreamed of playing in since the moment they put that football helmet on. And that is to not only play in the Super Bowl, but to win it. And so it comes down to this. And it also definitely in the minds of the guys that came through the NFL regional combine that at once thought they probably wouldn't even get a shot to get into the NFL. But you have, you know, well over 80 guys that was able to do so. And now they have an opportunity to play on this weekend to get an opportunity to hoist that Vince Lombardi trophy up and get one of those big diamond, gold, platinum nugget rings on their fingers that's the size of their nose. It's awesome experience. And we're going to pick up with Terrell Adams, linebacker for the Houston Texans. Now, with J.J. Watt coming back in the fold, it's going to be really interesting to see how the Texans are going to use him. Number 50 for the Texans. I would say he's a hybrid type of linebacker. It's surreal. I think that he's definitely equipped mentally to be able to go out there, and then on, I would say on plays where he is actually coming in as a relief, he can still be out there making the plays, recognizing offenses. And that's one of the reasons why head coach Bill Bryant put him in that situation in week 16, just to see how he was going to navigate that defense. And he did a great job in that game to actually lock up their divisional title. So that was very important, very vital. So how he's going to be used this weekend, not for sure. Will he be primarily with special teams? However, I think that if you get him into the fold, mix him in there early and often, I think the Texans will have something special there with this young man. On the Buffalo Bills side, they have another player that came through the region, and he's a linebacker, Julian Stafford. Now, Stafford, journeyman, bounced around, but pretty much has found a home with the Buffalo Bills. He's primarily a special teams guy, but there are some situations where the Bills actually have him out there with the defense. And last year was one of those years that he had played a lot more on the with the defensive unit, thinking that he was coming in this – well, I would think he was coming in this season a little more a part of the defense for the way how he had played the season and the season before. So he coming into this game with 8 tackles, looking to try to make something happen on the special team. So watch out for number 51 with the Buffalo Bills. Like I talked about with B.J. Bello, who came onto the show, linebacker for the New York Jets, and we talked about special teams and how special teams really play a major role in the NFL. And oftentimes, special teams is not recognized until something big happens on the special teams play. So this is where you see guys who are getting down the field much quicker. You may not think it's a big deal for a player who will get down the field before everyone else to force a player to make a fair catch or to stop the ball from going in the end zone to avoid a touchback or to make a good open field tackle down the field, because that can alter a game and definitely alter field positioning, because that's what it comes down to in football, especially during the playoffs. Well, field positioning is going to be huge. It's going to be key. And it's going to be very interesting seeing how these two teams are going to execute on special teams, knowing that both sides of the ball have good special team aces. It's going to be really interesting seeing what Stafford's going to do and what Adams going to do. But we saw Adams a little bit more live with the defense, so I do expect to see number 50 out there with a defensive unit with the Houston Texans. Now, fast forward to the Minnesota game and the Saints. Tennessee has one player from the regional combine, Nigel Harris, but he is now back on the practice squad. Anything can change between today and tomorrow. I'll definitely keep you guys abreast of that. Just follow me on Twitter, because that's where I'll keep all my updates and Locker-Report. Minnesota Vikings have two players from the regional combine. One, the whole league knows about. But the guy to watch out for the Minnesota Vikings is C.J. Ham. C.J. Ham is one of the better fullbacks in the league. You know, you never heard of this guy, but he's been solid for them for the past 2 years. He's one of the very few fullbacks that actually can go split out wide and catch out the backfield very well. Watch out for number 30. He could be that type of player that will get – well, he is that type of player that can get the tough yards if the Vikings in situations they third and short, third and inches, or fourth and inches, or fourth and one. He's the type of player that normally would pick those yards up for him. Since Minnesota is going to be in prime, everyone in the country is going to be watching this game because of the postseason. Watch out for what C.J. Ham can do. Not going out saying that the Minnesota Vikings is going to beat the Saints. It's not what this show is all about. It's only promoting the guys that came through the NFL Regional Combine platform. So watch out for number 30, C.J. Ham. He's a solid ball carrier, but he gets those tough yards. But the part that stands out the most is that he's a heck of a blocker. He do not give up on the play. One of the reasons why Dalvin Cook in this running game that the Vikings had is so successful, because you see that battering ram, C.J. Ham, who's pretty much a throwback type fullback, but can do so much more. So watch out for the Vikings on the running game and also in the passing game with him. But Adam Thielen, who we are, two-time Pro Bowl, All-Pro wide receiver, this year suffered a hamstring injury and pretty much had been almost MIA since October. The Vikings pretty much in a tough situation where they know they needed him, but they didn't want to push him because they know that they would need him during this postseason push, which is very vital. According to Adam, who did not take a snap for the last couple of games, he said that he's in the best shape that he's been since entering the league going forward against the Saints on Sunday. So if that's being said, the Vikings' chances to be even more competitive in this game against with the Saints, who is hard to beat in their place. This is something to watch out for. We know this team has history, knowing that Minnesota Miracle happened to the Saints a couple of years ago. So that taste is still in their mouth. They'll never forget that. But this time, the Saints had the Vikings on their turf. Adam Thielen is ready to rock and roll. Kirk Cousins, prime time. We know how he's playing prime time ball. Hopefully, for his sake, that it does not turn out to be the same outcome where he's 0-9 during prime time game. So this is going to be a very important game to watch. And also with those two solid players from the regional combine platform, C.J. Ham, number 30, and Adam Thielen, wide receiver, as he come back to help his team get to their ultimate goal, to get to the Super Bowl, and to wrap up the wild card weekend with the Seahawks and with the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles, captain, middle linebacker, Kamal Gunther-Grouchet-Hill, number 54, solid defensive player, actually was drafted by the New England Patriots in 2016, actually had the opportunity to go up against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and as we all know, they won, and he got his Super Bowl ring, a player from the regional combine who once thought probably wouldn't get to the league because he was not getting a lot of notoriety, but was able to make it, making a career in the NFL, have a Super Bowl ring, and I know he's looking to try to get more, and that's what the Philadelphia Eagles will try to do this Sunday when they host the Seattle Seahawks. Grouchet-Hill definitely called the plays out there for the Eagles. He's definitely one of those players that has been more than proven in the league and also been a solid leader, knowing that he's definitely got to keep his eyes on Russell Wilson, who's going to be back there scrambling, running around. The Eagles have to definitely be disciplined and keep those throwing lanes, you know, occupied, and also monitor what is going on out there with Seattle, because Russell is not going to let up by any chance on this team. Now, Grouchet-Hill, you know, had pretty much a rough year, been banged up. For the most part of his career, he always been pretty healthy. Really don't know what's going to happen for him this Sunday, but I'm quite for sure that he's going to be in the ear of his defensive players and helping those guys try to defeat the Seattle Seahawks. Now, thank you guys for listening to Locker Talk with host Barry Barnes on the Bassin News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. Next week, we're going to recap what happened on Wild Card Weekend, but get right back into the divisional rounds of the NFL, talk about how the players for the NFL Regional Combine did, and then also within a matter of weeks, talk about their overall season from each player. How they perform during the 2019 season, what do we expect? Talk about breaking down their performances for the whole year. And then, of course, those who are playing in the postseason. So that's something, you know, to stay tuned about. Then within going into forward for the next month in February, that's when we will be preparing and talking more about the workouts that's coming up. That's why I'm going to have more guests to come on to the show to talk about in preparation for the NFL Regional Combine. So that's going to be something to look out for. It's going to be a lot of fun, folks. It's going to be a great year of football, a great year of everything. So I hope that you guys enjoy your weekend, that you make it safe to all your destinations, that you continue to love everyone who you come across. Let's make this year a better year. It starts from the home, folks. Doing what we're supposed to do inside a household and then take it back out there into the communities and the streets. That's how we can make this world a much better place. And thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk with host Barry Barnes. You guys can always reach out to me in one of my social handles on Twitter at Locker_Report, Facebook, LockReport.com, Instagram, LockReport100 on Smartcat, or shoot me a message via email at BarryBonds@Locker-Report.com. And this is Locker Talk, and the news continues on the Bachelor News Radio Network.
Welcome to Pro Talk with the Mighty Ova. Today, we have with us one of the most extraordinary ladies that I have ever met in my life. Flo Anthony is just described as being busy. She has done more as an award-winning journalist. Flo is a best-selling author of more than three novels. She's also one of the original celebrity gossips. She is probably the one that is the forerunner of all of the celebrity inside reality shows that you're seeing today. We have with us a living legend. Not only that, but her involvement in sports and writing and producing and being a radio show host is just legendary. She is who I call the legendary Flo Anthony. Miss Anthony, how are you today?
Oh, my goodness, I'm going to have a big head. Thank you for all those marvelous accolades. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm great, and you are also a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, along with my mother. You are one of my favorite people.
Thank you so much. Yes, I am. Alpha Chapter, Howard University.
Howard University.
That I am.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about this interview for several days, and I always wanted to ask you about your first column. I think it was Keep Punching. Was that your first?
Oh, yeah, it was. It really wasn't my first column. My first column was actually when I was in high school. I was the youth reporter from my high school, Ann Arbor Huron High, to the Ann Arbor newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had every week a column. You know, we had to turn in, we all contributed to one page, a youth page from every school. So it actually wasn't my, column writing actually began when I was in high school.
Okay. Now, which
but
was...
But Keep Punching was my first New York City column.
Okay.
And that was in the, it was in the Black American newspaper.
Okay. What year did that get started?
Keep Punching, I would say about 82, 83 in there.
Mm.
About 82.
Now, when you started writing that, did you see any leeway into the other bigger newspapers? Were they beginning to look at you from that writing?
Well, that's how I did get to the New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
I did get to it through Keep Punching. Dean Memminger Sr. And Bob Williams, they had, it was called Black Sports something other they had. They called me up, they'd been reading the column, and said that the New York Post wanted to hire a sister to be the agate clerk in the New York Post sports department.
Mm.
And they were going to recommend me. And so, but it, that did come from me having Keep Punching. But then when I got to the interview for the job, Jerry Lisker, may he rest in peace, he was his editor, and he said the only thing he could see on my whole resume was I'd worked for Butch Lewis and Michael Spinks, and so they were his best friends. And so then I did get the job. But I went through a lot even for that, because the guy that they said, I think it was Bob Williams, told me, this guy Mike George, he works there, call him. And he wasn't, even though he became one of my dearest friends, he was not encouraging at all.
Mm.
And I said, well, I'm going to call Dick Young. And, you know, Dick Young was a legendary sports writer. He said, well, he's never here. I said, I'd call him at home. You know, I've been doing all this, you know, sports PR. I got his number. So then he told me I didn't really want that job. It's a kid's job. I said, look, I really need the job. So then he said, well, to call Bill Gallo, because his son, Greg Gallo, did the hiring. Now, Bill Gallo was the great cartoonist. So when I called him, he said, give him 15 minutes to call his son. And he gave me his son's number at the Post. He said, give him 15 minutes and then call him. And so I did. And then that's how I actually even got the actual interview.
Mm. Now you mentioned Dean Memminger Sr. Is that the same one that used to play for the New York Knicks?
Yes, that is the same one. He passed away several years ago.
Yes,
I say senior because his son, Dean Meminger Jr., is a big anchor person and reporter for New York One.
Oh, okay. I got
you. So now you have to differentiate.
Well, tell me, what was your experience with the New York Post? How did that work out for you?
Well, you know, I stayed there almost 10 years. And I, you know, was promoted throughout the time. I went from being the agate clerk in the sports department over to the entertainment department and being the clerk over there. And from there, being promoted over to page six. And so I, you know, I had several lives over there at the New York Post. It wasn't an easy job, though, there, because at the time I was there, it was only three, maybe four black people working editorially. In fact, we were going to NABJ one year, and so one of the guys over the Daily News said, "You all can't even fill up a taxi cab," which was kind of true.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't easy, but, you know, I made it through it.
Well, tell me, in working with celebrities, have you ever had any difficulty with any of them? Sometimes they can be very temperamental.
Well, you mean as far as interviewing them? Or,
yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I had problems, of course, with Whitney Houston. I mean, she sued me. She can't get any more problematic than that. But in the end, before she passed away, I think we hugged each other somewhere or other. And, of course, she didn't win any lawsuit. You know, she settled before I actually settled, because people are now saying, still saying to this day, I should go back and sue her estate. But she, I think the Post paid her legal fees. That's all she got out of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's about it. I didn't generally get along with people.
Right.
So even to the point, like with Vivica Fox and Lisa Ray McCoy, you know, I have deals with them. I call them directly if I hear anything. I don't go through a publicist or anything.
Right.
So that's, you know,
that's
how that is.
Yes. You've been in the business for so long, and
mm-hmm.
You're a forerunner of celebrity reporting.
Mm-hmm.
How has it changed? Has social media played a role?
Yeah, social media has played a role. You know, all these bloggers have played a role because, you know, I don't really consider them journalists. And the internet certainly played a huge role, because you used to be out here with a story and it'd be exclusive. You could be exclusive till the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're only exclusive for about a minute.
Right.
You know, because as soon as anything goes up on the internet, it's out.
Mm.
So that's the difference.
Now, you also, you had a working relationship with the great Muhammad Ali. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it's so funny that everybody asks me that. I just did an interview with my friend Jason Cross the other week, and that's all he wanted to know about. It's so funny. You know, at the stage of the champ's life that I worked with him, it was more moving him from point A to B. I actually worked on the Muhammad Ali coin and Muhammad Ali cologne through Murad Muhammad, who was a boxing promoter.
Right.
And then we would have Ali as guest at fights he was promoting. So, like, for instance, in Atlantic City once, I think that Larry Holmes was fighting Scott Frank. I think that's who he was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the casino had said I could have a party, but I had to deliver both Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. I couldn't find Muhammad Ali forever. I finally found him. He finally showed up. But with my work with him, it was actually delivering him from A to B. In fact, a friend of mine, she passed away, Sandra Usri, when I first met her down in Atlantic City, and she had a television show and a radio show, and we came with Muhammad Ali. And she said, "How is you, this young sister, working with Muhammad Ali?" And I never even thought of it that way. I would call him champ. He'd say, "Are you calling me tramp?" I mean, I just never even, I guess I never thought at the moment the huge deal that was. I was just trying to do a job and do it well.
Mm. Well, tell me about your relationship with Larry Holmes and your thoughts about him.
He told my boyfriend the other week, "Flo's coming back to work for me, and you get the person that's working for him now." That's my relationship with Larry Holmes. I said that he and his wife, Diane, if they could just keep me in Easton forever, I would be there forever. But, I worked for him. I think for about 4 years I worked for Larry. And he's a character, but he's basically a pretty good guy, character that he is. We accomplished a lot. You know, we did 60 Minutes. I got him on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. We accomplished a lot while I worked for him.
Do you think he'll
ever... And now I'm around him a lot because, you know, I work for Michael Spinks.
Right.
And so we do a lot of events with Larry.
Okay. Do you think he'll ever get his just due? Because if you look at his record, Larry Holmes was really one of the greatest heavyweights of all time.
Yeah, he held that championship for 5 years straight and was 48-0 until Michael Spinks happened to beat him twice.
Yeah.
And he never was able to break Rocky Marciano's record, and I think he will always be angry about that.
Oh, yeah.
But life goes on. But he came after all that thunder of Muhammad Ali, and that's one reason that he did not get his just due prior to Mike beating him. You know,
right.
Because it was right after all that thunder of Muhammad Ali.
And,
you know, at one point he was Muhammad Ali's sparring partner.
Right, right.
Even. And then, you know, the thing, though, that last fight that Larry had with Ali, some people think he should have held off a little bit. And when afterwards he did go to him and apologize for beating him so bad.
Right. Let me ask, did he forgive Michael Spinks?
I don't think so. I mean, now we've gone to 3 years in a row to Larry's golf tournament. First, Mike wasn't going to go. I said, look, they want you to come. We got to go. And we, like I said, we traveled recently. We just saw him 2 weeks ago at Fight Night in D.C., and we went to Canada with him back in June. I mean, we're with him a lot now because they're boxing legends, and there's all these appearances. So they get along just fine.
Flo,
I
want to introduce you to my road dog, my buddy. He's covered 13 Super Bowls with me. He's the sports editor for the Challenger Community News, George the Radman Radney.
Yes.
All right, George, how you doing?
Good, and yourself, Flo? How's everything?
I'm doing great, just great.
Yes, indeed. That snow gets you down here. It just delayed me a little bit today.
Yeah, you know what? I was out in all that snow on Monday. Because I had to go down to my radio network, and I made it back. By the time I made it back home, it had started to change to rain.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
You also had an opportunity. You should have been on The View, am I correct? Is that true?
Well, I know that they did want me on The View, but Barbara Walters is one of the main people out there that was blackballing me, so that never was going to happen. Because one of the producers, original producers of The View, was one of my producers at Araldo.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they wanted me, but that wasn't happening.
Another thing that you're noteworthy for is your commentary on The Unsung on TV One. How did you get involved with that?
Well, it was actually Life After. I did maybe two Unsungs. I did the Haywood Nelson one because he asked me to do it. And I think I did one other one. But Life After I was on, I think, for 3 years, consistently every week. They called me up. That's how that happened. They called me and asked me to do it. And I said yes.
Tell me about your thoughts on Wendy Williams and some of the modern-day gossips. How do you see how they have... I mean, they talk about some things I've never heard you... even refer
Can
to.
We skip Wendy? I would rather not discuss her.
All
I mean,
right.
I just would rather not talk about it.
Okay.
I don't want to be, down in a sister, so I'd rather skip her.
How about, how do you see it in general? Not Wendy. I wasn't saying Wendy Williams per se, but just the modern celebrity gossips and reality TV. How do you see them? And
well, I don't think there's any real modern celebrity gossips out here. I mean, I know you see TMZ, but the things that, you know, even when they had the Page Six show last year, and, I worked at Page Six for a very long time, it still is not the level of celebrity reporting that I did. You have to remember, I'm the first black person when I went on page six to have a gossip, be part of a gossip page, the world-renowned gossip page in general market media. At the New York Post, I'm going to say this, and I hope they hear it. I was very upset. I'm just going to go on the record. When the New York chapter of NABJ honored, you know, and I love Bevy Smith, but they honored Bevy Smith, I think, 2 weeks ago. Now, I was in D.C. anyway at Fight Night. I probably, you know, I guess I wouldn't have gone there if I had to do that, but I wasn't even here. But I'm not bragging. I'm a groundbreaking journalist.
Right.
I was the first black woman in the sports department at the New York Post. I went over to the entertainment department where I was the first black person in the entertainment department at the New York Post. Then I scooted on over to page six. I went over there because they brought me over there because I kept breaking stories.
Mm-hmm.
And breaking stories. And so I became the first black person to write gossip in the United States of America in general marketing. And they never honored me. Has everyone lost their minds or what? I have never felt so demeaned in my life.
Mm.
And I don't care if you send this tape to the head of the New York chapter of the National Association of Black Journalists. Because that's crazy, because I still to this day, you know, I'm a freelance contracted employee of the New York Daily News.
Right.
I'm still doing what I always did.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, so I that's what I think about the gossip out here today. I don't think there's, you know, I don't know if I think there's any real gossip columns other than out here that are black, you know, that, you know, like I said, you got TMZ, and then you've got, oh, God, she's my soror. She used to be on TMZ. What's her name? I think she's on E! Now. For a while, she was over at Entertainment Tonight because, I was doing freelance work for them and the Insider, too. I could see her, and I can't think of her name, and she's my soror. She's fabulous, but it's still not. You know, still not the celebrity reporting or the gossip that I did and still do on the radio every day and with columns that I still write.
How do you see, Flo, the Bill Cosby situation? That's another...
That he shouldn't be in jail. That is so ridiculous. He's in jail for paying off for this woman that he paid off 25 years ago. It's crazy. How do you want to have an 80-year-old man in jail? There's things that I just don't agree with. They could have given him house arrest. He's obviously not redeemed himself. Mm-hmm. He still feels no remorse. And that's the only reason you go to jail is to redeem yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, he paid off that Andrea chick years ago, and people that were on the Bill Cosby show and working on the set of Bill Cosby saw her over there constantly. He is telling the truth. They had a consensual sexual relationship, even if it was infidelity, he was cheating on his wife.
Right.
But, I mean, that he should not be in jail, at least not for that girl. He paid that off years ago. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems like the time that we're in now, Flo.
The time that we're in is very scary because any time people can come back, let's take, you know, of course, nobody wanted Brett Kavanaugh to get on the Supreme Court because he's a Republican. We didn't want him.
Right.
But for that woman to say that he did something to her in junior high school, but she didn't know where it was. She couldn't remember when it was. She couldn't remember that. I mean, that was crazy. So we're all probably going to have to go to jail at one point in life because everybody did something in junior high school. Or they were saying, people were saying, well, he got drunk in college. And if he didn't get drunk in college, we're living in a horrible time.
Mm. How do you
It's a terrible time that we're living in.
Flo, how do you see Harvey Weinstein? That's a guy that...
Well, everybody knew this about Harvey Weinstein, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a secret in the entertainment industry. I mean, he was using the couch and, the casting couch back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew all this, but nobody tried to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't somebody try to stop him from exploiting women and assaulting women?
Mm. Right. And look,
people knew. All that Matt Lauer stuff, everybody over at NBC knew.
Right.
Mm. Why wasn't somebody trying to stop him?
Mm.
That's a good question. Very good question. And with a case like the Harvey Weinstein case, it still hasn't gone to trial yet.
And it probably won't go to trial because it's, in the end, a lot of it, there's no tangible proof. You know what I'm saying? It's because things happened so long ago, there's no tangible proof. And he has enough money to keep it, you know, going back and forth to court. And as you know, the longer things stretch out, the less power they have.
Correct.
Flo, you also had another column, the Eye on Stars.
Yes, in the National Examiner. I'm also the first African American to have a column in a tabloid. Yeah. So, but New York chapter NABJ don't want to give me a award. Please.
I'm gonna make sure our local rep knows your feelings on this immediately, and they need to correct this injustice.
No, it's a New York chapter, though. It's a New York chapter, so. But anyway, my goodness. But what was I getting ready to say? Yes, I had that column. I had it for a very long time. In fact, I might have had that column about. I think I started in about '94, and I had it up until about 2001 or two.
Now, how many Super Bowls have you covered?
I started covering them in 85. And I was there last year, so how many years is that? 1985. Was that 41 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
This is my 20th year, so you were there before me. That's where I met you.
Yeah, I was there. That's kind of groundbreaking, too. And I've applied for a credential for this year. But I think one of my associates is going to cover the actual game.
And
we get the credential.
What Super Bowl stands out to you in out of those 41 years?
I love them all. But, of course, in the beginning, you know, anytime the Giants, you know, they won because it's my home team. But I've loved them all. The feeling... when my mom was alive and, you know, I'd cover the Super Bowl, I would call her the minute, and I have to go to a payphone in the beginning because, you know, I'm before cell phones, and I call her and tell her I'm inside the stadium. And just that feeling of being inside that stadium, and it's a Super Bowl, is so exhilarating, and it's just unbelievable.
It is.
It still is, especially the 2 hours before kickoff.
It
seems like you can cut the tension with a knife. It is a remarkable feeling.
Now, were you in Minnesota?
I was in Minnesota at the Super Bowl many, many years ago.
Okay.
Back in the 90s.
I got you. That was the Bills.
Right. Oh, that's right. That was
No, Bill. Was it the Bills or the
Redskins?
Yeah,
it was Bills and Washington. We took a beating.
Yeah, Bills and the Redskins. I just remember the Redskins.
Yeah, we took
a
beating.
And Doug, I didn't remember who they played. Yeah, your poor Bills are pitiful. They just keep going and they don't win.
They're trying to rectify
they're trying
to get it together.
Oh, yeah, they did good Thanksgiving Day. They did good Thanksgiving. I watched the game against Dallas.
Now, tell me, how do you balance entertainment and sports? I know they're both entertainment, but... How do you balance the
two? Well, because they are both entertainment. And, you know, I started out in the sports department. The sports didn't make money. The gossip did.
I got you.
I know, and I'm back, you know, with Michael working in boxing again. So, I'm back with that again, and it's very exciting.
Now, and you've got 3 novels out.
Yeah, I'm working on a 4th one if it ever gets finished. I do, and it's funny, I'm starting a podcast in my radio network, Super Radio and American Urban Radio Network, starting a podcast of my book, Deadly Stuff Players. And, you know, so every day I have to read a chapter. And so the other day I said, let me just reread this whole thing. And I was like, you know, this book is kind of good. I never even realized, you know, when you put it down, you know, and everything. But that's one of my newest ventures, a podcast with the book Deadly Stuff Players.
Nice.
And you can get it on AURN.com. I mean, they have all these other things, Google Play, something else. But it's not quite up and running yet. I think they're doing the artwork, and I'm just starting to record the chapters.
Well, tell us about your the book, First Keeping Secrets, Telling Lies.
Well, that was the very, very first book. The lead character is Valerie. She's a gossip columnist. She's basically me, because my books are kind of faction, because a lot of my life is in these books, and characters are named after my family and friends and stuff. It's kind of, it's interesting. And her, in Keeping Secrets, Telling Lies, she meets Rome Nyland, who becomes her best friend in the next two books, and he's an NFL Hall of Famer turned private investigator, and he's investigating the murder of his cousin, and her name is Charmaine Sutton, and so he's investigating her murder, and that's how he kind of meets Valerie, and they become friends. And Valerie, during the course of the book, maybe five other people are murdered.
Mm.
And he and Valerie solved the crime together. So that started the whole Room Val series, with first Deadly Stuff Players and then One Last Deadly Play, which is now 3 years old. And I'm working on, I'm putting Rome and Val to rest. I'm working on, it's actually a Christmas novel. Not going to be out this Christmas, though. It's called, what is it called? A Deadly Divas Christmas Tale.
That sounds very interesting.
Yes, indeed. Excellent
novel.
Yeah,
A Deadly Divas Christmas Tale.
I thought I